definitely, definitely has something to say to you. And I'm very, it's my pleasure and privilege to welcome our guest speaker this evening. He needs no introduction. So, without further ado, please put your hands together, make a very loud noise for the one, the only, Pastor Jonathan Croft.
Well, it's good to be with you again tonight. Always love coming here. Seeing a lot of familiar faces, and one or two that I haven't seen for a while, so it's good to see you guys, even having a cup of coffee. There was a story I've heard recently, and it was actually about a school, and it's a teacher in a school up north, and this was a junior school teacher. And every morning, that teacher, before anything else, if there was an assembly, he would do it straight after. But for the first 15 minutes of each lesson, you know, at the beginning of each day, all he did was go around each pupil and just say something very positive about them. Just something positive. It may have been just something, you know, oh, you're fantastic at sports. Oh, you're a brilliant artist. Oh, you're fantastic at math. Oh, you're so kind and considerate. But something like that, which was so positive. And every day, at the beginning of each day at school, he did that. And those children, because of the parents, started to come in and talk about what's happening to my children, because all they're doing when they come home is speak something positive over our family. And they started to speak the very same things in a positive way over the family at home. They started, and this was quite interesting, because the other teachers in the school started to hear what the pupils in this particular gentleman's class was doing. And they were encouraging each other in the classroom. In the playground, when that teacher was not in the classroom, they heard everybody just being positive over each other. And I just love that story. But you know, one of the things that I believe that God is wanting for all of us in his church is to understand how powerful our mouths are. If we turn to quickly to James chapter 3. And most of you have read this before, and I'm not saying anything that probably a lot of you don't know tonight. But I do believe that we've got to get to a position where we realize that our tongue is so, so powerful. You know, it's described here, and I'll read it. Not many of you should presume to be leaders, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. And we know that nobody's perfect apart from me. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Not very nice, is it, that last bit? But you know, one of the things that God's just saying that I've got to be very careful how I say and speak, how I just speak about different situations, circumstances, and that obviously has to begin at home, how I speak to my wife. But you know, the tongue sets the course of your life. I'm sorry about that, but it does. What you say will set the course of your life for the rest of your life. No matter what that looks like, what that shape or form, it will set the course whether you're going to be a faith person speaking the very words that God speaks over your life, or you start speaking some negatives over your life. And that, obviously, is not going to be a positive thing. You know, I've heard so many people that, oh, I'm ill, I'm ill, I'm ill. Guess what's going to happen? Your tongue is going to set a course on the line of illness, or you will have that negativity that will come into your mind. And any time that you feel a little tinge in your body, oh, that's it then, I'm ill. Oh, it's my kidneys or my liver. Oh, it's my lungs, it's my heart. Oh, it's so on and so on. But you know, like that school master, that school teacher, I believe God wants to, in a sense, challenge each one of us. Because I believe next year is going to be a very, very important year. For all of us, not just for me, but for all of us. And we need to, I was speaking to my brother-in-law from Canada, and he was over here just for a couple of weeks. And it's amazing that the Holy Spirit starts to do something in every different place. And one of the things that he said, that he was beginning to do a project called Acts 27. Not Acts 29, but Acts 27. I don't understand why Acts 27, but there is another organization called Acts 29. And the whole idea is that, you know, you've got Acts 1 to 28, and that's sort of the activation of the church, the activation of the Holy Spirit. And Acts 29 now is over to you to write the next chapter in London or wherever you come from. And but Acts 27 is what my brother-in-law started to do. And he is a youth, even though he's a lot older than me. He has chosen to do something media-wise, because quite a number of people, TBN and Trinity Broadcast Network, have asked him to do a program for young people to get them back into reading the Word of God. And we're hearing the same thing here, and many other church leaders around this country are hearing about getting people back to reading the Word of God. Why? Because then we can speak what we're reading. Because it's God who has written everything down in the Scriptures. And so when we start speaking the Scriptures out over our lives, over our situations, then things begin to change. Why? Because it's God who's speaking through us. But we need to be people, and it's every generation needs to be doing this, so that we are beginning to get an understanding of the Scripture again. There's many people in churches that don't read the Bible, possibly on Sunday, once. You know, the priest or the vicar comes and sort of says, okay, the daily reading is so-and-so today, the collect today, and so therefore there's a bit of Scripture that's read on a Sunday. But, you know, that may be the only time some people get to hear God's Word, God speaking to them through the written Word of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And just over and around this country at the moment, people are just getting stirred up. We need to be people who, again, get the Word of God into our spirit. That we need to be people who start to activate, and this is every generation, activate that Scripture so that we begin to speak these things over our own lives. You know, God loves me. God is love. Just simple things. But if we, oh, God is love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. And if you get that thinking, then actually when you're afraid, you suddenly start speaking that, perfect love drives out all fear. Okay, God, you're in me, and therefore that love is activated in me, so I don't have to fear in this situation. But you need to be able to understand that. You know, when you do something wrong, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And, you know, when we mess up, and we will do, you know, sometimes it's this mouth that messes up sometimes, isn't it? The way that we speak to one another. But, you know, we have then suddenly something in Scripture that says, oh, I've got to confess quickly so that I'm made right with God first and foremost. Because remember, when David sinned, he said, against you and you alone have I sinned. So he had to get himself right with God first and then everybody else. I love the way that Danny Silk puts it, you know, that you've got to get it right before God. And then if the paint spilt around, then whoever this paint is spilt on, the people who have, it's affected, your sin has affected, then you need to go and ask for forgiveness from those group of people. And he told a story about his Bible school in the States. And there was a couple of students who started to date in the first year. During the break, the semester between year one and year two, they had sex. And there's literally, she became pregnant. And obviously, when some Bible school students were going to come back for the second year, this was a little bit of a dilemma. And so therefore, you know, they came and spoke to the senior leadership there. And they just sort of said, okay, you've got to put it right before God first. And that's what they did. They put it before God. And then they sort of said, okay, now who's this affected? So what do we do? Both families were affected by it. So, okay, we need to go and put it right with them. Who else? Our fellow students. And obviously this is humbling to do, but they went into, they came back as second year students, and straight away they went to the second year classroom and they sort of said, guys, we've got something to say. We messed up. We blew it. But we have repented. We've asked God to forgive us. But we're now asking you guys that are our peers, the people that we've walked with, we're asking you to forgive us. And guess what? Everyone did. And then they said, okay, because we were part of the leadership, second years, we're going to be part of the leadership of the whole school. They said, okay, we're now going to go and talk to the first years to sort of say, look, this is who we are. This is what we've done. We've messed up, but we put it right with everybody. And we're going to now walk with God in this way. And so they started to walk down the corridor to the first year classroom. And every second year followed them. And so they all went into the first year's lecture room. All the second years stood around the side while this couple were just sort of saying, look, guys, we blew it, but God's forgiven us, and we're moving forward. I thought that was an amazing story. There was another story that Danny Silks told in his book, and it was, again, something very similar, but it was about worship leaders who, basically husband and wife, who's had difficulty. And actually, very, very few people understood or knew what was going on. And so it was only affecting three or four people. So it didn't affect the church. So the church didn't need to know. But it affected just three or four people. So they put it right with those three and four people. And they've then moved on. And God has continued to bless that couple in the ministry that they have. But you see, for me, it's about what we say, what we speak, coming into alignment with what God wants. And you see, I'm going to read from Ephesians in a minute. But you know, one of the things that God wants, and we've done this at Kingdom Faith in Horsham, where we have brought everybody, every child, we're buying a Bible for. And they can choose the cover, so they've got princess covers, they've got war, you know, the army colors. But, you know, we are wanting even our children to be reading the word because we want them to start speaking the word over their own lives, but over the situations that they're going into. You know what it's like going into an office, into a situation where people who don't know God, you know their language, you know what they're saying, the negativity that often comes out of people's mouths. I mean, I do thank God for even sometimes non-believers who are very encouraging. But sometimes it's the church that aren't. Sometimes our colleagues at work can be more encouraging than our church family. Unfortunately. Because we're all pinpointing every sin in this environment. We're out there, you know, because they don't have an understanding of what sin is and God, etc., etc. You know, a lot of the time they're just very encouraging. Wow, you've done a great job. You know, well done. But in the church scenario, sometimes we don't get that because, oh no, you've got to trust God. And there is an element of trusting God, but at the end of the day, you know, we're there to encourage. Barnabas was the son of encouragement. That was his name. And he encouraged John Mark when Paul sort of had a blowout with John Mark. And he sort of said, no, he can't come with us because he messed up. Barnabas sort of said, no, I see something good in him. And so that's where Paul and Barnabas had a little squabble. I want to take Jean-Marc. Paul said, no, I don't want to. Barnabas said, yeah, we want to. And at the end of the day, Barnabas and Paul separated because of it. Barnabas encouraged Jean-Marc over the next period of time. Don't know exactly how long that was. But at the end of the day, you hear Paul saying, you know, in his letters, thank you to Jean-Marc who was faithful in what he was doing. So there was a whole turnaround in that situation because somebody took the time to bring encouragement. Somebody took the time to get alongside somebody else saying, well done. Come on, you can do it. You're great at worship, leading worship. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for doing that little task there. Thank you for that little call, phone call that you make every, you know, time. It just comes in at absolutely the right time to encourage me, to build me up. And you see, I believe that what God is wanting is this all to be second nature. Because I believe God is wanting to encourage us all of the time. I've got a journal that, you know, and a number of you I know have journals that you write down what God's telling you each day. And a lot of those things are so encouraging. God so encourages. There's recently, I'll read you a few things that God said over me. And sometimes I'm astounded that, you know, God speaks things like this to me. Jonathan, you have a father's anointing. Jonathan, your life needs to be prophetic. Jonathan, you are a faithful servant of the Most High God. Jonathan, you have a heart after God. Jonathan, you are a pursuer of my presence. Jonathan, you are trustworthy. And there's other things that God keeps saying to me in my journal that is so, so encouraging. And God wants to encourage you every single day. And part of that, I believe, is in the Word of God. But you need to be speaking the Word of God over one another so that we can become encouragers. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to be flattering one another in the wrong way. But we want to be encouraging one another, building one another up in the most holy faith, it says. Encouraging people on the journey. And how many of you know that sometimes one or two of us can be struggling and others can be on cloud nine and it can be frustrating when you hear the, oh, praise God, hallelujah, glory, amen, and you're the... But you know, that's where you sort of look around. You're getting God's heart for the people. So what you're saying and what you're speaking over one another is the Word of God. He's faithful. God's faithful to every promise that he has spoken over your lives. Why? Because God cannot lie. That's what the Word of God says. He cannot lie. So some of you, I know, are sitting on promises in this room. Some of you are sitting on big promises from God. how he's going to use you. Some of you may be in business. Other times it may be in another form of ministry via a role and a function. There's promises that God's spoken that he's saying, I've not forgotten. There's who is it in the room that has family that are not Christian, but God has given you a promise for them? Okay. God's not forgotten the promise. God wants you to hold on to what he has said. And part of what he says is coming through the scriptures that we read. It's not just all the journal things that I write down here on the first page of this new one. It says, my servants are blameless. My servants are not overbearing. This is coming from the scripture in 2 Timothy. My servants are not quick-tempered. My servants are not given to drunkenness. My servants are not violent. My servants are not dishonest. My servants are hospitable. My servants love what is good. My servants are self-controlled. My servants are upright. My servants are holy. My servants are disciplined. My servants know the truth and hold on to it. Now, all of those have come from a scripture in Timothy that I just sat down with the Lord, with my pen, with my notebook, and I just felt God sort of saying, my servants are. And I literally went from verse to verse to verse to verse to verse, and all those things came from those verses. That's God speaking. But unless I was opening the scripture, then I wouldn't hear those things that God was wanting to speak over my own heart and my own life, and also over your heart and your life. Because the scripture is not just for Jonathan Croft, the scripture is for every single one of you. Because actually, at the end of the day, God has no favorites. We all know that, don't we? But he will reward people whose tongues are directed with the mouth in line with the word of God. There's reward in those things. If you constantly speak something contrary to the scripture, your tongue is going to be taking you away from the great path that God has for each one of you. If you sort of start to get negative, you're going to go away from that path that God wants you on, his good, pleasing, and perfect way. We all know we do this. We all know that we have words and we can be critical. We can be very quick to use our tongue to try and get our own way. But you see, what God wants, and I for next year, God's saying this to the whole church. That he wants his people to get into the word so that our mouths start to direct us in the course that God wants for us. Individually, but also his church in this nation. He wants us to be in line with him so that our tongue, as that rudder of the ship, directs the course of not our own life, but those around us. That's your responsibility. God is not going to take your mouth and control it. This is your responsibility. This is what you've got to do. I can't do it for you. I wish I could. And I wish some of you could do it for me sometimes. But this is something that is all our individual responsibility so that our lives are lined up with his plan and purpose, and the mouth is not directing the course of our life in a way that is displeasing to God. I've been reading, has anybody heard of Dr. Caroline Leaf? She's a neurologist. And if you go onto my Facebook pages, I actually retweet hers quite a lot. Because she's done quite a lot of research into how the brain works and how it's linked to the rest of the whole body. And in her research, she talks about how toxic thoughts can have a very negative effect on the whole body. And a toxic thought is something that is contrary to the way that God designed you to be made. God's designed you for love. God has designed you to think in a positive way. But when we have those negative thoughts, it sends triggers right down through our whole body that can actually cause, quote, stress. And then stress-related situations. And some of her quotes are, for me, amazing because they completely line up with Scripture. That's why God says you've got to renew your minds. Because God wants your mind not to be filled with toxic thought, which then you start speaking those toxic thoughts, and therefore it then begins to bring a negativity into your whole demeanor and actually can cause illness. Whereas what God wants is for us to align ourselves with what he says. And if there is something of a toxic thought, we quickly know I have a mind of Christ. That's what the scripture says, isn't it? I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, if I have the mind of Christ does not have any negativity. Now, please, I'm one of those where I've got to battle this all the time. But, you know, Joyce Meyer talks about the battlefield of the mind, doesn't she, in that book? Why? Because it's such an area of our thought life that we need to come and continue to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ so it doesn't become in a toxic mindset. And men who are into porn, the pornography on computers, it's because a trigger has come off in their minds, and it literally just it just feeds it and feeds it and feeds it, and then in a sense they begin to watch things on the computers, and this obviously is a men trait. Women's is shopping, but you know, it really, the mind is such an area, but it's linked to our mouth and what we say. But that mouth and what we say has to be in alignment with what the word says in the scripture. Let's turn to Ephesians. Oh, goodness me, my Bible. I think I'm getting a new one for Christmas. If you're Facebooking Amy and Mary, just remind them, please. They're my daughters, my beautiful daughters. Ephesians. Chapter 4. Okay, I should put my glasses on, shouldn't I? Then I can read what the verse is that I'm trying to get to. Some of you haven't seen me with glasses on, have you? What do you think? Fred used to be a staff member, you see, so he's never seen me with glasses on before. Verse 25. You see, I can see it now. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Again, it's all about speaking over one another. And we're going to do this in a minute. Because, you know, one of the things that I find is that, you know, if God starts saying things to us like this, then, you know, I think we've got to do it. I am going to release you in a minute just to, and I know some of you may not know each other, but, you know, I think God can give you still one or two words of encouragement to one another. So please lock the door so nobody can run away. But, you know, one of the things it says in Ephesians is that do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to not your needs, but their needs. Now, that's not just to say, okay, you know, Naomi, you're going to be the prophet, you're going to be the next, you know, amazing Joyce Meyer, and God's going to take you all over the world and leave Nathan here. It's not, you know, it's not those words that we're talking about. God has got a plan for Naomi's life. And, you know, I believe you're going to be a woman of influence in ways that you don't realize at this moment in time. And it's not just in the school environment. You're going to be a woman of influence. You know, and so, you know, there's the words that we can say over one another. But if we're going to be doing this, this is what God wants us to. It's a second nature. It's part of who we are. It's not something that we do on a Friday night, the 4th of December. And on the 5th of December, we revert back to what we were on the 3rd of December. This is something that God wants to be part of our lives. And it does have to start at home. So with you and Nathan, it has to start there. With Sarah and Matt, it starts there. It starts with myself and Helena. It starts with, you know, people that we're walking closely with. But then it can start to be with the work colleagues. And then whoever God then puts in front of us. Because God wants us to encourage whoever is in front of us. Even if we disagree with them, and please, I'm not talking about bowing and just being subservient to whatever is going on in the world, but for me, we can constantly be positive even when the rest of the world is very, very negative. Because at the end of the day, I want to be obedient to what God's saying to me. So I want good, wholesome talk to be coming out of my mouth so that my mouth is directing me on the path that God wants me to walk and not on an alternative path that is not going to lead anywhere apart from, in quotes, destruction, according to Scripture. Now, praise God, we have somebody, when we do get off on the track, we can come very, very quickly back by saying, God, forgive me. And he does. And that's amazing. His mercy is amazing. And the graciousness of God is amazing. When we've blown it several times, God in his mercy can come and bring us back right into his purpose. But part of that is aligning what we're saying so that our mouth is full of faith. Faith comes what? By hearing what God is saying. So we've got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be listening to what he's saying in Scripture. We've got to be in tune with what Holy Spirit is saying every single day, every single moment of the day. so that we can flow with him, so that our tongue is directing us on the course that God wants us to walk and not an alternate one. Can we stand up? And I haven't quite finished, but I want to activate you. We're just going to take 5 minutes. And I want you to go around and speak to about 5, 6, 7 people. Now, it may be that you have a scripture that God wants to give you. And just take a moment before we do this. And it may be that, you know, there's a scripture that, you know, God encourages you with. And just have that, and you can have it. You can open your Bible with this now. And just go and speak that thing that encourages you so much over 5, 6, 7 different people. Okay? This is not, we don't have to sort of put up our holy hands here. This is just reality of speaking the very words of God, that things that encourage me, they can encourage others. Now, I know some of you have prophetic giftings in this room. And if God does want to release other things through you, then please feel free to do that. But you've got 5 minutes to go and encourage as many people as possible. Keep an eye open for people that haven't been talked to. Because often most people will go to their friends first and then everybody else afterwards. And close the doors. Lock the doors. Okay, guys, go for it. And even if you don't know somebody, you can still encourage them with the words that God encourages you. If you're part of this church, you might just say something that they do. I just really appreciate what you do here. Okay, if people can come back. I've written something down here, which is, I've said it before in a different way, but it says, God can only direct the course of your life if you align with what he says and what he does. Do you get that? God can only direct the course of your life if you align with what he says and does. That's why for me that this whole thing that God is wanting to again remind us that it's not just, I think sometimes it is about speaking over our own lives in front of a mirror sometimes and just sort of say, you know, you belong to Christ. The anointed one lives in you. And in sometimes you know, you have to do that because there's so much pressure in the world that can come and distract you from those things. And sometimes just by saying some of this scriptural stuff over your own life, no, you're a man and woman of God. Hopefully you'll know which one you are. But you are a man of God, woman of God. And, you know, It's understanding that the anointing is upon me. I have been enriched in every way. These are the things that God speaks over believers. This is what the scripture says. But sometimes I think we've got to begin to speak it in front of a mirror so that we can believe it ourselves when life is getting a little bit tough. So that we can then start speaking these things over one another. Not to bring condemnation on anybody else, because you sometimes can get that, can't you? Where you're going through a bit of a mess or a difficult time, and somebody clever clogs comes and starts quoting scripture at you. Now, obviously, sometimes can be quite well-meaning in those things, but sometimes all you needing is an arm around the shoulder and sort of saying, you know, I'm with you. God's not forgotten you. God's not forsaken you. And then you can get to a point where you can begin to start speaking other things over people's lives. Because you're coming to a place like scripture that there is no falsehood in you. but you do not let any unwholesome anything apart from what God tells you to say out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building one another up. I don't know about some of you guys who are married and ladies who are married. Sometimes the ways that you speak to one another, sometimes they're not as helpful as they should be. And it can be in every relationship, can't it? That sometimes we've got some people close to us in our colleagues and we have to sort of, oh, I blew that one. And then you have to come back and sort of say, okay, actually, you know, God, I blew that. But, you know, Father, I want to get this right. I want to make sure that out of my mouth comes good stuff, wholesome things. And I want my mouth and my honoring of one another and honoring of you, honoring my family, my children, to be done in the right way. So that it is helpful for building one another up according to their needs. So again, God wants us to be sensitive to the people around us. Okay, thank you. Thank you. In Korea, back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, this is your revival history coming out now, but in Korea, a revival started with a leader, a church leader, just standing up and sort of saying, I've blown it. Forgive me, guys, for my attitude, for the words that I've spoken. And suddenly, one after the other started to come and just, this was citywide at the time. This was in actually originally in North Korea before it split. But it started with a church leader coming and sort of saying, I'm sorry, but I've not really liked you. This is to other leaders in the town. Because at the end of the day, he came and humbled himself before Almighty God first and foremost. But because he humbled himself before Almighty God, he humbled himself before his peers. And because he humbled himself before the peers, it was like a window of heaven was opened. And one after the other leaders started to confess their sin. And God broke out in an amazing way that actually ultimately resulted in South Korea being the biggest church in the world. It's incredible. But it started with somebody humbling themselves. And there's reality in these things. And, you know, I'm not suddenly sort of saying, okay, we're going to see angels dancing all around the place now. But what we are saying is that if there is a reality about what we do, then things will like that will happen. Hey, guys, I've blown it with my wife. I've said things wrong. But with the honesty around, I believe God then can break in because he sees the hearts that are open, hearts that are humble, hearts that are not hardened, but are hearts that are wanting to be in line with his plan and his purpose. And then together, in the purposes that he has for us, he can do anything with hearts like that. And then we, again, line up our words with his words so that, like I've just quoted, God can only direct the course of our lives if we align what he says and what he does. But we need to know what he says and does. So that's why we need to get into the word again. So Father, I just shared my heart. I know that you have, Father, Lord, so much on your heart that you want to communicate to each one of us. Lord, you want to remind us of the things that you said. And Father, we ask you to forgive us when we say, I can't do that anymore because of. that's not going to work anymore because of, oh, it's too late. That's never going to happen. Father, forgive us for not holding on to the things that you have spoken. Lord, we know that David was a man after your heart, and Father, he messed up. Paul messed up. Peter messed up. Denied you 3 times. Yet he was an apostle that you used, Father, to take your gospel message out. Father, forgive us for thinking that we cannot be used anymore for whatever reason. And forgive us for speaking those very words sometimes over our own lives and actually sometimes over others. Lord, we just want to make sure that in everything that we say and everything we do, that we align with the Word and we align with your Holy Spirit and what your Holy Spirit is saying to us. Father, we don't want to be people who are speaking unbelief, speaking things that are not from your throne. But like the words you spoke in creation, you said, let it be. Let there be. Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be stars. Let there be animals. Let there be all of those things that you brought into place with words. Father, you tell us to speak to the mountain and the mountain will be removed. And Father, Lord, we just ask you that you will teach us and show us the very words that you are wanting us to speak. And in that speaking, Father, we just know that mountains are going to be removed. Mountains of sickness, mountains of financial need. Father, Lord, we just know that there's sometimes mountains of, oh Lord, all sorts of things around us that we just need to see removed. And Father, I just pray that every one of us will hear something from you so that we can speak and command and decree your words over the situations around us. Father, Lord, we know that you are amazing. And Father, I know I've blown it so many times. Father, there's times where I've spoken to mountains, but I've not really believed. There's been so much assumption in my prayer. Lord, I want to get back to that place where I'm hearing from you. And therefore, I'm declaring and speaking your very words over situations and circumstances. Father, Lord, I want to see you in a real way that it's touchable. It's real. So that everybody around us can say, wow, God's around here. Lord, I just pray that you'll take what is from your heart. And you will make it real to each and every one of us tonight. Whatever didn't come from you, Father, I just ask you that that will be dismissed very quickly. So that we can just hold on to that rhema word that you have spoken into our own hearts and own lives. Now, just before we finish, I think it's important that you just pray quietly before to God for yourself. You can say, sorry, Lord, I've messed up myself. You can say, God, I just ask you that you'll get me back into the Word so that I can actually start declaring the Word over my own life and over others. It may be that you very quickly you've got to say, God, I'm sorry because unwholesome talk has come out of my mouth. I'm not being encouraging in the way that you want me to. God, I just want to align myself back with your plan and purpose for my life and the body that I'm part of. Lord, I don't want to be outside of your will and purpose. But like that ship, I want to be on course, and the course that you set for my life. If you feel that you need to tell him, Lord, just bring me back on course, then that's your prayer. I can't pray those things for you. What I found is that God loves people to be real. So be real with him today. If you feel that you're doing very well, then that's fine. Just thank God for the grace that he's enabled you to do that in your own life. But I really believe God wants to hear your heart tonight. And Father, I want to do this. I really want to make sure that my mouth is not taking me away from your plan and purpose. But my mouth, what I say, what I speak, what I declare, what I proclaim to myself, but also to others, aligns with your plan. With your purpose. That can be over health, healing, all sorts of different things. But just make sure that you do business with God. I think for one or two, it is really about the word that you've not really read the word too often recently. It's like, Lord, I know I've got to get back to the word. So that I can start to speak those words over my own life again. And Father, we just ask you too, that if we've ever had any negative words over the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation, Father, we just ask you that you will forgive us, Father, for speaking against something that you see as amazing. Yeah, we may not perfectly, as your church in this nation, reflect who you are. But Lord, it is your church. And Father, Lord, I just ask you that you will just help me to continue to speak about your church in the way you want me to. Whether I belong to Kingdom Faith London, Kingdom Faith Horsham, churches in Lincoln or Essex. Father, Lord, that we're speaking in the way that you want to and want us to speak about the churches that we are representing. And Father, Lord, if that's a challenge to us at this time, Father, I just ask you, that you'll work in our hearts so that we can actually begin to see in a different way the church that you want us to become, so that we truly reflect you in this world that we are part of. Lord, we just don't want to miss your best purpose for our lives individually, but also our lives corporately. And so, Father, help us, enable us to keep in step with your Holy Spirit by speaking what is right. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paul.
Okay, I've got a very easy question for you. How did God create the universe? He spoke. Easy. So that is how powerful words are. Really and truly, that is how powerful they are. And there's a film I really like. It's about a lady who I think was quite great, but other people actually hate her. But in the film, she says, be careful of your thoughts, for your thoughts become words. Be careful of your words, for your words become actions. Be careful of your actions, for your actions become habits. And be careful of your habits, for your habits become character. It all starts with thoughts and then words. So as Jonathan's encouraged us, we really need to get our heads into the Word, fill our minds with what's in the Word, and all the rest will come out of it. The words, the actions, the deeds. Who's very happy with their lives and doesn't want to change anything? Okay. Who would like to see transformation in their lives? Hands up. Okay. If each one of us puts into practice what we've just heard, I guarantee God will work a transformation in our lives. So just take a minute now to promise, not necessarily to God, but to God if you want to, but to yourselves, that you are actually going to put into practice what you've just heard.